Hey, Christina. Hi, Lauren. Hi, Shauna. Hi, Mindy. Hi, Alana. You like your curly bangs. Hi, Cole. It's good to see you. Hi, Karen. Hi, Ray. Hey, Amy Jo. Hi, Luzel. Hi, Rana. Hi, Carlita. Hi, Giuseppe. So good to see everyone. All right. Let me get my notes up. Sorry, this is really embarrassing. I ate something right before I got on the session. I'm stuck in my tooth. Give me one second. I'm like food stuck in there. Okay. Sorry about that. Oh, let me turn my email off too. Sorry about that. Okay. So today we are moving into our next module, which is called Co-creating Magnificent Visions That Stick and Flourish. And we're going to be spending a couple of sessions on this module. Today, we're going to be looking at the foundational pieces of creating aligned visions. On our next call, which is not going to be next week, we're off next week. We're going to be looking at the energetics of new things because new ideas, new visions, new habits that someone may want to step into, etc. They have their own energetics, and it's good for us as practitioners to understand that to support our clients to actually step into them. We're going to have a call on strategizing and looking at how to strategize visions to support clients to execute on them. And then we'll also have a practicum call as well. I love this. I love everything that we look at, but there's really a lot of juiciness in visioning. And so we'll start with this quote from a book called The Magic Lamp by an author named Keith Ellis. And he writes, "When people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want." A big part of a practitioner's job, no matter what kind of practitioner you are, is to support clients to get clear on what they really want. And there is more to that than meets the eye sometimes. So the vision is really at the heart of any coaching, and I think it's really at the heart of any healing as well. And that vision is usually when we're working with clients, there's two visions kind of happening at the same time. There's a bigger overarching vision that the client would like to achieve by the time you're done with your work together. And then there's kind of those smaller mini visions along the way to get there. The vision is, so today we're going to be looking a lot at this overarching vision, although everything we learn can be applied to these smaller visions along the way. This larger vision becomes almost like a detailed profile of like a guiding light, if you will, for your client, a place to aspire to, a place to keep on coming back to, a place to stay aligned with. When we can support our clients to vision well, the visioning sets the stage for compelling personal or organizational or social change. It sets the stage, visioning sets the stage for change. Visioning helps clients open up to future possibilities that are in alignment with their core values. When we don't have a vision in our work with clients, the work tends to meander a bit. So just like with every session, we want an intention for the session. That's kind of like a little mini vision for the session, right? This is the vision that we want to achieve by the end of the session. Just like we've been seeing without intentions, getting clear on intentions for any particular session, things can meander, they're maybe not as effective, etc. Same thing, when we don't kind of create those bigger visions for our clients. To achieve, right, the things that they want to get to. As a side note, the art of supporting another individual to create a vision for themselves is essential for your marketing and for your sales conversations. And that's because, in order for anyone to decide to invest in working with you, one of the components that's necessary for any yes, like yes to working with you, is that the prospect has an idea of what they want to achieve through the work. So if you haven't already listened to the very long, yet very valuable 5-hour authentic enrollment conversation workshop that you have as a bonus. If you wanna kind of start to raise the bar on your sales conversations, listen to make the time. And in it, you'll see I go through step by step a crucial component of an enrollment conversation or a sales conversation is supporting your prospect to create a vision. All right. So, all that being said, let's talk a little bit about what can go wrong when you co-create visions with clients. And this is a lot. The reason why I bring this up is because a lot of practitioners are not co-creating visions in the best of ways. Mindy's asking in the chat, what is the difference between an intention and a vision? So it's such a great question, Mindy. Sometimes they can be the same thing, like what I was saying before, you know, when we create an intention for a session, it is kind of like a mini vision. You'll see as we get more into our call today, what we're going to be looking at around visioning. I mean, in a way, it is an intention, yes. But the best visions oftentimes are more multi-dimensional than, you know, my intention is to do this. There's more meat to them. Hopefully that'll make sense as we go through today. And Simona, I'm sorry you got logged out. I don't know what happened there. And Karen listened to the train, the five. I see it's the 5 hour training is worth it. You got a yes. Yay. So great to hear it. Okay. So what can go wrong when you co-create visioning? What are some things that you need to be aware of? Well, when you get the vision right with a client, when you can really co-create a vision that's aligned for them, it's like you're building a strong foundation. When the vision is misaligned, when you co-create a vision with a client that is not quite right for them, that foundation isn't strong. It's like that, then everything that you build on top of that, the strategy, the ways that they're gonna go to create that vision, it's on faulty ground, if you will. And I'm sure you've experienced this for yourself. And maybe you've seen this if you've worked with clients or even with friends or people that you know. You create a vision and it's just not aligned for you. Either it's not realistic or it's not something that you really desire. Or you don't believe that you can achieve it. So we want to really be mindful of that. And I'm going to get on my soapbox just for a moment, and say if you look at the coaching industry, a lot. I shouldn't say a lot, but some practitioners out there are selling misaligned visions. Either because they're promising to make you a millionaire overnight or to lose 20 pounds in 20 days, right? It's not realistic. Or because they're promising, they're just making assumptions about how somebody wants to grow or what their vision might be, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty rampant in the industry. And then what happens is people buy into, they think this is their vision. This is their vision for them, whatever it is. But because it's not aligned, people don't get it done, right? They just don't follow through to make it happen. Or they get stuck and stymied. They feel drained by trying to make it happen. They feel lack of motivation. Or if they're a get it done person, they actually achieve the vision, but they don't feel happy or satisfied about it. So, of course, as we work with our clients, sometimes their visions can change and evolve. And we want to be checking in with that. And also, sometimes a vision isn't fully ready to go either. Like it takes time over time to bake. All of that is good. But all of this is to say is that we do want to take the time to create an aligned vision with our clients. We also want to make sure, this is another thing that can go wrong. We want to make sure that our filters are checked back to our listening module so that our filters don't get in the way of supporting our clients to help articulate their vision. So I see this a lot with business coaches out there. Their unchecked filters, they want to build an empire, and so they assume every business owner wants to build an empire. Or I want to get married, so when I'm creating the relationship vision with my client, right, there's that assumption there, whatever it is. So you want to always make sure, and always, that you check your filters. And especially when you're visioning. When we go to vision with our clients, a piece that we want to keep in mind also is this. For as much as visioning is kind of like a catchphrase, most people don't actually allow themselves to vision for real. Or they overvision unrealistic things. We want to give our clients, provide for our clients a container where there is full permission for them to vision for real, while also giving them guardrails so that they don't do that kind of over. Unrealistic overvisioning. Sometimes it can be really useful to look with a client at how they're giving themselves permission. So let me ask you some questions around this. How were you given or not given permission as a child to vision for yourself? How were you given or not given permission as a child to vision for yourself? And there's some great questions in the chat. I think they will be answered as we go through the material today, but if they don't get answered, Jenna and Hima, please ask them at the end. All right, so how were you given or not given permission as a child to vision for yourself? Here's another question to journal on for a moment. What did you learn or not learn from your parents about having a vision? What did you learn or not learn from your parents about having a vision? So sometimes our family experiences impact the level of permission that we give ourselves to think big for ourselves, to have visions, to have our desires and go after them. And then sometimes culture impacts this as well. And I'm going to ask a question, a journaling question on this in a moment, but I bring this up for a couple of reasons. So, number one, it's important for us to be aware of. But number two, when we work with our clients, if we're working with a client that doesn't have a particular privilege that we do around race, around gender, around religion, around sexuality, around education, around economic status. And if we don't check that filter, we may miss that dominant culture has limited that client's ability to vision for themselves. And we may end up bypassing them or the important and rich conversation to kind of poke holes at that. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Okay, so with that, then, how has dominant culture allowed or not allowed you to vision for yourself? How has dominant culture allowed or not allowed you to vision for yourself? All right, just two more questions. Next one, how often, like maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, you can assess yourself, how often do you really allow yourself to fully vision? Like to really think about and feel into and get excited about what you really want next for yourself. Scale of 1 to 10, how often do you really allow yourself to fully vision?
What was that last question?
On a scale of 1 to 10, how often do you really allow yourself to fully vision, to see what you want, to lean into it? To know it, to understand it, to desire it, to move towards it. As always, I ask these inner questions, these journaling questions for your own awareness, but also the more that we can. Be aware of these issues for our clients and that there are, these different pieces of human behavior, the better we'll be able to serve them. And then last question for now, wherever you are on that scale of 1 to 10, why do you or don't you take visioning seriously? Why do you or don't you take visioning seriously? All right, so let's pause here. I'd love to hear some voices. What are you seeing so far? What are you noticing? What's coming together? What feels important, either for you or in your client work? Carlita's saying practicality and money was a big guardrail on visioning in my upbringing. Yeah, it's good to be aware of that. And that can show up for clients too, right? And it's not that we're not gonna, we want, again, we don't wanna support unrealistic visions, right? But we wanna understand where our clients might be limiting themselves, if their situation is different than when they were younger, or how they were taught to vision, if they're not fully visioning for themselves. Hema's saying reluctance to dream big for fear of failure and disappointment. Yeah, that's another biggie. Karen.
I love this topic, and it just so happens that I, at our last Q&A, where we set the blueprint, that was 2 times ago, one of my goals was to vision for my business. I have, like, for 18 months or so, until just a couple, till I was doing that, I was not feeling much energy towards my business. And my business has evolved over whatever 15 years, into different modalities. And when COVID hit, I just really backed away from a lot of things. And then I was having trouble getting my momentum back. This training has really helped. And it's also when I put out that intent, it was really just an intention that I want to know the bigger picture of my business. I want to vision it. And when I put that, just putting that out, space opened up in me, and just being out in nature, there's different ways that I vision, but just meditation, just being out in nature. I was just, sitting by a tree one day, and it was my journal, and things were coming out. So now I just, even though there's fear, like how? I don't know the how. Like, what? Are you kidding? How can this, how is this going to work, from where I am now? I feel an excitement that I haven't felt. And that just really grounds me, anchors me in the power of visioning. And I have done this with my circle work, with clients, but for the first time, I have felt it really empowering me.
So first of all, I'm so happy to hear it. Yay.
Thank
And
you.
I'm so glad that you're bringing this into the conversation. It's such a beautiful example of how when we have a vision, which is a vision is something bigger, right, than where we're at right now, that vision helps to energize what we're doing. And oftentimes, what can happen is that if there isn't a bigger vision or a bigger vision that we come back to, or we come back to with our clients, then things run on autopilot, which is not a bad, you know, not labeling anything good or bad, but when things run on autopilot, there isn't as much, as you're saying, excitement and energy about them, right? And this is true in all areas of our lives. So, you know, I've been married to John now, how many years? 16 years. So we got married a lot. We had our vision of our life a long time ago when we got married. And every anniversary, even though he rolls his eyes a little bit at me, but still, I think he ends up enjoying it. I make the time, every wedding anniversary, for us to take a moment and say, like, what do we want our marriage to be this year? What is our vision for our life together this year? What are the values that have gotten lost that we want to reinfuse? You know, what are the things? You know, where's our romance going? Or, you know, whatever it is. And that really helps, like, coming back to a vision, changing a vision. I think it's part of what allows us to have excitement in our marriage, you know? And so anyway, this is for all aspects of life. If you are a practitioner that works with people on their health, same thing. Don't just go on autopilot. You know, there are going to be certain moments where you want to come back to what is the next vision or what is the bigger vision, not just in order to reach the goals, but as Karen's saying, to have that excitement and infuse energy into it. Who else? What else is coming up? What are you seeing? Lauren's saying not trusting visions and struggling to vision beyond the next step of this move right now, which I just want to say there are moments where all we can vision is the next step. And then there are other moments in life where we can vision farther out. It's like sunny skies versus walking in fog, right? There are certain moments in life, like, you know, where it's a fog moment and all we can do is see the next step and the next step and the next step. A transition moment is sometimes like that, a move, a loss, something terrible happening, a busy moment, you know, whatever it is. And then there are other moments in life where there's clearer vision there. Anyone else want to share voice to voice? Rana.
Hi, Joanna. So couple things that are kind of top of mind for me. I was actually in a conversation with a colleague earlier this morning where she was talking about a client's vision, intention, goal setting, right? It was just all in that context. And what we were discussing is the coach's perspective, intuition, sense, kind of hit on it was that the vision wasn't enough, right? And that the coach sensed that this vision wasn't inspiring enough and or motivating enough to pull her forward. And so she was also aware of, you know, possibly her own judgment creeping in around that, while also wanting to, you know, hold that space for the baby vision, if you will, right? And then a couple of, so just bringing that awareness, and we're going to talk further on that. And then there was another piece. And two words stuck out to me as I was listening to you talk about this was the word realistic and seriously. And I just can't help but wonder, Joanna, where in that visioning then with the use of those words, which to me sound quite honestly incredibly patriarchal around visioning, right? That it has to be serious, it has to be realistic. I'm not saying that's your perspective, but just the languaging of that, in terms of having that space for wonder and awe and magic, and the unexpected to enter. And I share this from some other reading I'm doing right now about decolonizing trauma work itself. And then there's this piece of, I lost my train of thought on the other part. Anyway, thoughts on that?
So I'll work backwards. So thank you for bringing that up. And, for sure, I still have a ton of my own decolonizing work to do.
Me
and
too.
So I'm so glad you're bringing it up. And just to clarify, and maybe I didn't articulate well, I didn't mean that the visioning process should be serious. I meant taking yourself seriously in the visioning process. Does that make sense?
It does, because I know you, Joanna.
Right. But you're right. I'm glad that you're bringing it up, because it's a good way to go back for the language. But 100%, like, you want that magic and that awe, and all of that, while also, and this is my opinion, so this
sure.
is not falling into one of the, I think, the pitfalls of the industry, which is like, if you want it, then you can have it. And you
I get I, exactly. I get it.
So
right. Or
finding,
like, be a millionaire in three easy steps.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So finding that balance, I feel like, at least for me, not as much anymore, but for a period of time, one of the big pieces of work I was doing with clients when they were first coming in is supporting them to see how they were going after the shiny objects, versus what their hearts really desired and what was big for them, but like the next thing versus the utter unattainable thing, holding that as even a more long-term vision, but also without stifling, creating expectations that we're gonna support the client to be successful.
Yeah, that makes sense, in the context of the conversation here with you. I just can't help but look at that from a much larger
completely
perspective.
Yeah.
Especially when thinking about organizational vision, for example.
I love
right?
that. No, I think it's such an important piece that you're bringing in, and we'll talk more about the magic too, because that's super, super important. And then to the first piece you were talking about, sometimes as practitioners, we may sense that a vision that a client is putting together isn't inspiring for them, or possibly isn't big enough for them, right? That like that, and some of that goes back to these permission pieces that we just looked at, right? If the client isn't giving themselves full permission to vision. Now, sometimes that might be the practitioner's filter, like they need to be bigger or it needs to be more inspiring. But other times there may be some truth to that. And so we just want to apply our creating awareness skills to it, to
sure.
investigate and see. But for sure, I've said to clients, I could be wrong on this, and this is a great vision that we're looking at here, but I sense you're ready for something bigger. Or, how are you feeling? Are you feeling inspired by this? I'm not totally feeling that with you yet, and I just wanted to check in with you on it. So we can absolutely create awareness and see what is true and not true for clients when we have those intuitions.
Sure. And I just want to give voice to the fact that I really appreciate you bringing the awareness around, sometimes a client might just be able to hold that vision of like the next day, the next hour, the next week, and not like a 1 year or a 3 year or 5 or 10 year vision. And I've been in that place myself too, so having some empathy around that.
Yes.
around the visioning conversation, I think is so important. And sometimes I've seen where coaches don't necessarily always activate that empathy power
Yes.
for, because of their own agendas.
Yeah, 100%. So that's why we want to go back to those empathy pieces.
Yeah.
And just l last thing I'll say for
Say for
now,
now.
if it's helpful for everybody here, sometimes people are really surprised to hear this. I do not have a 3-year or a 5-year or a 10-year vision for my business. The most I can ever get to is a year out. So for some people, it's super helpful to have that long term, the biggest of the big vision. It's never something that has worked for me or that has been, it's just, it hasn't worked for me personally. So just another example of always coach the what based on the who.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Simona.
Hi. This is actually a request for the group. And I just want to say it's a request based on like a, I guess, loving boundary, knowing that we can all say yes or no. And I just want to bring to the group that when I come into this sacred space, I bring down so many of my sensitive person defenses so that I can both receive and give to like the most depth of being able to experience our group together. And the reason I share that is what when we're sharing, my request, which is you're welcome to do or not do, is to be really, if you could, clear about what you're sharing. Like, are you sharing something to be celebrated with the group? Are you sharing something to be witnessed and held? Are you sharing something like, Rana, I'm not sure what I just heard you, all the things you said. But one of the things I heard you say was calling Joanna in to talk about colonization. And so just to be super crisp so that it's easier to be clear about like me as the over as a helper and a person and a sensitive person, I'm listening and I'm trying to hear, like, is there something that in this example, someone's trying to teach me with what they're saying? Are they trying to be witnessed? Are they trying to call in? So that way when we're sharing, is it, I mean, am I sharing a story about myself that I think the whole group can benefit from hearing my experience because I may be able to pull something out of it. So all to say that I'm not sure if that's clear or not clear, but what I'm asking is like, so for example, if you said like, do you have a share? I would say, okay,
Yeah.
well, let me share with you that I would like to celebrate this, or I'm feeling tender about this and I want to. So that's my ask. And if that's clear, that's great. And if it's not, then I didn't do a good job communicating. So thank you.
I love that you're bringing that in, Simona. I think in some moments that's totally possible, and then in other moments it may take a minute to get there. And so I just take more responsibility on that if I'm not sure of someone's intention, that I'll ask them, which is a great mirroring of everything that we've been looking at in terms of being clear on intention. So thank you. Okay. So let's keep on going. And there was a question in the chat around when to do visioning. So, in some ways, it's really an ongoing process, but there are some kind of touch point moments for visioning. So the first is I often like to just start a coaching container with some sort of bigger vision. It will oftentimes come up already in the sales conversation. Again, why a person is even going to step in and engage in the work with you. But I will, in a first session, come back to what is this bigger piece that you want to create and really support the client. And we'll get into how to really create a three-dimensional vision of that. So we look at that in the sales conversation, also in welcome packet questions. I'll ask questions about bigger visions so that the client can start to think about it. And then oftentimes we'll spend a good amount of a first session really getting clear. That bigger vision usually isn't a 5-minute conversation. For a bigger vision, not a smaller term goal that's going to fit into the bigger vision, but that bigger vision 6 months out, 1 year out, etc., you do want to take some time with it. Again, we can compare it to setting a solid foundation for a house. The more solid that foundation is, then everything that you build on top of that is going to be stronger. That being said, it's also good to remember that visions are subject to change, because as we work with our clients, they change and they grow. And sometimes what can happen is that you're working with a client towards a vision that they set 3 months before, 6 months before, but actually it's shifted a bit and they haven't realized it and you haven't realized it. So you haven't done anything wrong at all if a client's vision changes. But you do kind of want to track, and if you notice that there is less energy around something, if the client seems to not be inspired, if there is more, or some, you know, that something wants to shift, that you have conversations about that. I think Mindy asked earlier in the chat about the difference between a vision and an intention, but I feel like there was maybe also a question about the difference between a vision and a goal. In some ways, like I said earlier, they can be the same because we do want to vision our goals. But for the sake of what we're looking at today, a vision is a much bigger picture than a singular goal. It's maybe farther off into the future. And then a goal is a marker on the journey to the bigger vision. Maybe the next thing that's within sight. This is an important distinction for us to be aware of as practitioners, because oftentimes what can happen is that we jump to supporting a client in fulfilling a goal or achieving a goal without being clear on a bigger vision. But it turns out that that goal, if we're not clear on the bigger vision, the goal either is misaligned or it may not be necessary to get to that bigger vision. So, for example, in business, you don't want to decide if it's time to do an ad and a funnel and this or that if you don't have a little bit of your bigger, you know, what do you want to achieve in the next 12 months in your business, right? Then if you don't know that, the question of whether you should do ads or not, or speaking or not, or put up a website, whatever it is a moot point until you know what that bigger vision is. If you're working with someone on romantic relationships or partnerships, it's a moot point to decide if the next goal is to put up an online dating profile or not until you create a bigger vision for maybe what this ideal romantic relationship is that the client wants. Then it will become more clear, is online dating the way to go? Or maybe what needs to happen next is inner work. Or maybe there's someone, it's getting more involved in activities that they like or whatever it is, right? So understanding that bigger vision informs the goals. Does that make sense? As an aside, this is another reason why it is beneficial to sign a client up for a series of sessions versus one session at a time. When we're just doing one-offs, it's hard to hold a bigger vision and then systematically work towards it. Any questions on that?
I have a question. This arose with a new client. We had our first session. We got clear on what her vision was, and then it shifted. And it went in a completely different direction. And I didn't know how to handle it. Like, it felt so different than what we were talking about. Empowerment and finding her voice. And then it became, I want your legal services and I need help. And I just didn't. So I feel curious how to hold that and how to maybe bring a client back to it. Like, I know we've been talking about a vision and then it's shifting.
Right, but that's like out of nowhere, right? So go back to our creating awareness skills. What would you want to create awareness around in that moment in the session?
Well, she didn't show up for many more sessions. So she wouldn't, she wouldn't show. There was a whole bunch of stuff that was happening. But had she shown up for another session, yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's bringing awareness to finding her voice and not, she, I just feel like, yeah. So I don't know how to answer your question because that's not where we found ourselves.
Right. So even so, because you noticed that, like, if you were to have had another session, or if it would have come up, in the session itself, that could be a moment to create awareness around what you're noticing, right? And to even share a little, like, in a way that is empowering, but to say, like, I want to pause here for a moment. Because I feel a little, I'm trying to think of a word you can use that isn't like shaming, but like I'm unclear where we're going, and I want to make sure you're clear and we're on the same page. We were talking and you were just so, I could feel, how, your heart in it when you were talking about your desire to be empowered. I don't know all the details, right? Like, take her back into, like, I could feel that desire from you, and you so beautifully articulated that you wanted X, Y, and Z. And this request for legal advice feels a little different or separate from that to me. How are they related? What am I not seeing here? One possible avenue, right? So a way of supporting the client either to understand, like, oh, I made this shift and it's misaligned, or this is the connection between this and this. And then you can look at, okay, it's not actually the legal advice that you're giving, but maybe there's a fear around empowerment because there's a block with a fear around the legal piece. Or, I don't know the details, but to start to create connection in that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Good. Yeah, and Simona's putting some good language to this too. How are they related? What am I not seeing? Okay. Sorry, I just lost my notes. Okay, here we go. Okay, so we want to know the difference between goals and visions and how they fit together. The next piece that's important in visioning, and this is one that we all know, but it's, you know, it's still, I think, useful to come back to know the difference between a desire and a should. Oftentimes, visions, if unchecked, visions, and I do this for myself too, I can fall into this, right? I create a vision based on a should. I should do that. I should achieve that. That should happen. Versus this is a real heart's desire. So examples of the difference between desires and shoulds obviously varies person to person. I should lose 50 pounds versus I desire to feel sexy. I should be the perfect parent, whatever that means, versus I desire to have enough time to help my kids with their homework. I should get married versus I desire to have a loving partnership, right? Because the vision, the loving partnership may end up being a part of that may be marriage or not. But if we go from the desire, then we can really look at, okay, what is that loving partnership? What is the vision for that? How do you want to interact with this person? What is the quality of the time spent together, et cetera, et cetera. So that being said, when we're working with clients, how do we support them to know the difference between a desire and a should? Let me ask you first, if you were to put your questioning skills to use, what are some questions that you could ask to support a client to know the difference between a desire and a should? What part of you feels that way? Nice. How does this vision feel to you? Yeah, because that feeling is different than the thinking, I should. Is this coming from your heart's whispers? Yes, because the desires are the heart's desire. These are all great. Karen's saying shoulds feel constrictive and limiting, desires feel expansive and opening. Yes, so we could create a question around that. Jamie's saying, if your heart could speak about this, what would it say? Yes. A should feels like efforting. Yes, desire comes with energy and passion. What lights you up about this vision? Great question, because if it's not lighting them up, then that will come to the surface. Does this feel like a chore or like a joy? Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of excitement here? Good. Is this your own heart's desire or one that has been suggested to you along your life's journey? Nice. Yeah, and it didn't need to be questioned. What are you longing for? Putting aside any outside expectations, what do you want for yourself? Absolutely. So all of these are so great. And as some of the questions got to, visions are products of the heart. So when we're visioning with our clients, when we're supporting them to vision, we want to ask questions And just even the quality of the conversation. And I think this starts to get at some of that magic and awe too, that Rana was talking about before. We want to activate the heart level of learning and transformation. Doing a visualization, speaking of visioning, can oftentimes really support the difference between a desire and a should and get at some of those heart's desires. Sometimes I'll ask a client to put a hand on their heart, right? If we don't have time for a full visualization or whatever it is, right? Just to add to some of these beautiful heart questions or longing for questions, put a hand on your heart. If it makes sense, close your eyes. What does your heart want you to know about this? Or any of these questions, right? Like, what are you longing for here? And again, remember questioning skills, where we place emphasis on which words makes a difference too. What are you longing for lands a little bit differently than what are you longing for, right? Just like a little thing can land very differently. Sometimes what can help a client between a desire and a should, and just help with visioning in general, is because sometimes a vision will come from an old self versus their current or their future self. So sometimes supporting a client to be in the energy of their future self or like the edge of their current self can get to the next most aligned visions. Or asking questions of like, you know, where is that? Similar to some that were asked in the chat, also not just like who put that vision in your head or, you know, where did that come from? But like, is this coming from your current self, who you are now? Or is this vision coming from an old self? All right, let me pause here. Any other thoughts, anything that wants to be added? Or questions about the difference between a desire and a should. Jamie.
Yeah, I was just really like stunned at the difference in that question around what are you longing for? Because my old story is I don't get to long for things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it was like, took me back to where I feel deficit. Yeah. And the power of the, what are you longing for? Just brought it back here to this very moment, which is what you were speaking to, is the old or the new. And the new is that, yes, the me is ready. So super powerful. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Yeah, and this is where we get, right? Like, you know, if you're just starting out on asking questions, you know, as I said earlier, we don't have to worry about all the details, but as you get more developed, you know, getting into some of those details, it really can make such a difference. Okay, good. When we're visioning with clients, we want to support them to create visions that are based on their values. Again, another obvious thing, but it gets thrown out the window a lot. If we don't define values, needs, priorities, for ourselves or for our clients, then our lives are misaligned from our hearts and what is true for us. And then our lives instead become based on other people's or on society's values. When we don't define our values and our priorities for ourselves, our lives and our visions by default become based on other people's or society's values and priorities. And that's when we start sleepwalking through our lives in a way. So this is why sometimes in welcome packets, but whether I ask the question directly in a welcome packet or if it's just through listening and asking questions in session, from the get-go, I am always looking for and listening for and supporting a client to create awareness around what their values are. When we keep values up front and center, not only does it make for better visions, but it makes for like quality of, okay, then how are we executing that vision, right? What are the choices that we're making? Yeah, and Mindy, I'll put that into the chat. So for example, if I have a client and I know that their top value above everything else is spaciousness, even though they value other things, right? But I know that their top value is spaciousness. If we're creating a vision for their business and they're packing a ton of things in, I'm gonna create awareness around that discrepancy. Versus if I'm working with a client and I know that one of their top values, busyness isn't the right word, but like, you know, excitement and newness and like always new things. If they're packing a lot into a vision, there's not a discrepancy there. So really listening for creating awareness of the values, so important. All right, I'm just looking at time here. So I'll send some inner work questions around values for you. I also have a worksheet that will drop in the member center. I don't use it so much anymore, but I think you may want to, or just, you know, kind of, it might spark ideas for you. It's kind of like a values worksheet, if you will. That's kind of interesting to look at. Okay, a couple more pieces for us to look at today with visioning. We already looked at this, the importance of permission, and how sometimes clients haven't given themselves permission for visioning. Part of our job, I believe, as practitioners, is to create the space for clients to give themselves permission. And sometimes, you know, we want to have a deeper exploration, like using some of the questions that we looked at earlier around it. But then other times we can give permission or support the client to give themselves permission just by some other questions. So for example, what would you really want to accomplish in life if you were absolutely, positively certain that you would do it? Do you see how that's a permission-giving question? What would you really want from life if you were absolutely, positively certain that you would get it? What would you do that would be totally different than what you're doing right now, if you were certain that it was okay to do it? So sometimes asking questions like that can just, through the question, supports giving permission. If I sense that a client is holding back a little bit, not giving themselves full permission, that's one of the first places I'll go before the deeper exploration, right? If you could have anything that you wanted and you knew that it would be okay, no matter what, for your business, whatever we're looking at, what would it be? Be thorough, or, well, be thorough when you're visioning, but sometimes it's not possible to be totally thorough because not all the details are there yet. So when I say be thorough, what I mean is when you're creating a vision with a client, think about the different pieces that may need to come into consideration so that it can become an attainable goal or vision. So for example, if I'm working with a client on a business vision, part of being thorough is if they have children or they have a responsibility of older parents or some other responsibility in their life, we're going to look at that in relationship to the vision, or at least the timeline for it. If there are health issues, we're going to look at that in relationship with the vision. If they're in a moment in their life where they don't desire to put extra effort towards something, that's going to be part of being thorough and looking at that. Make the vision a stretch. So if your clients are creating visions that aren't a stretch for them, they probably don't need you or the work with you because they can just do it. It's not a stretch. Now, it might be an inner stretch, right? Not an outer stretch. There's lots of different stretches. But the stretch is important. That's where the growth is. So my philosophy with visioning is have it be doable, but with a stretch. Have it be doable, but with a stretch. One kind of way to see, like, is this a stretch is, and I learned this from many, many years ago from reading a Cheryl Richardson book. She has something called stretch, risk, or die. Stretch, risk, or die. And so the idea is when you're creating either a vision or a goal for yourself, you want it to be in the stretch zone or the risk zone, but not in the I'd rather die than do that zone. So, you know, let's say you're working with a client and they want a date, you know, and maybe for that client, no stretch at all is just like, oh, you know, maybe then like when I'm walking down the street, I'll run into someone or whatever it is, right? Or I go to this one meeting, this social club, and they haven't met anyone for years at that social club, but I'm going to keep on going to it, right? That's kind of the comfort zone. There's no stretch, risk, or die there. But maybe for that client, the stretch is, you know, there's this person that always rides the elevator in my office building, and I think they look really interesting. The stretch is maybe I'm gonna say hi to them next time we're in the elevator. Maybe the risk is an online dating profile, right? It's more than a little bit of a stretch. It feels like there's something to risk by putting that profile up, right? But maybe the I'd rather die than do that is ask my best friend to set me up on a date with that person, you know, whatever it is, right? Like that it just feels so awful that I couldn't do it. So we kind of wanted, for most people, every now and again, there's someone who needs to do their, I'd rather die than do that thing. But for most people, we want to keep the visions in the stretch or the risk zone. So just to notice for yourself, when you create visions or goals, do you usually fall into like no stretch at all, total comfort? Or do you fall into the stretch zone or the risk zone? Or are you creating visions that are, I'd rather die than do that zone? What is it for you? Now, sometimes a client can have a next step goal that's in their comfort zone and they need that win. Like it's good to have that win to get things going. That's great, right? But we don't want to just stay in the comfort zone all the time. Any thoughts or questions or anything that wants to be added on stretching? Where is a place in your life or your work right now where you could stretch or risk just a little bit more? Where is a place where you could stretch or risk just a little bit more? Or put yourself in, I'd rather die just a little bit less. So questions, if you sense that a client isn't stretching, you can create awareness, right? We looked at this earlier. You know, I sense that there might be a bigger goal here for you that you, or that you could stretch more. How does that land for you? You can ask questions like, if you were to stretch a bit more here, what would that look like? You can actually talk to them about stretch, risk, or die, and then ask them to create a goal that's in the stretch or the risk zone. Okay. Here's another really important element to a good vision and an effective vision. The client needs to believe in the vision that they're creating. If the client doesn't believe in the vision that they're creating, or believe that they can create it, then it's going to be very hard to move forward towards it. So there are things that we can do when we're visioning with clients to support them to really believe in their vision. Number one, back to everything we learned with celebrating, right? So celebrating, supporting a client to celebrate themselves and to acknowledge what they have that will help them. So for example, asking a question like, what are the inner resources that you have that will help you achieve this? What are the outer resources that you have that will help you achieve this? What have you already created that gives you evidence that you can do this? Sometimes asking a future-facing question around celebrating can help with this too. Who are you ready to be so that you can achieve this? What are you ready to let go of so that you can achieve this. Along with believing in the vision, supporting a client to feel, and we've touched on this already, excited about the vision is so important. Excitement will carry someone through the achieving and the executing of it. So as you're visioning, you know, questions that build that excitement, what will be possible for you when you achieve this? How will you feel when you achieve this? I think somebody offered this next one in the chat. Where in your body do you feel excited about this? Okay. I think just the last piece for today is to also just remind you to be aware of what season your client is in. There are some seasons or moments of life where visioning is going to feel like a push and not a desire, you know, like a heart's movement towards. So for example, if someone is moving through a grieving process or needs to grieve something, that's not a moment for visioning. If someone is in the middle, now it depends on the person. Some people might be in the middle of a transition, and because there's so much lack of clarity, it's easier to vision, right? Because they don't have all of the, you know, shoulds and I gotta do this and the like securities. And so it's more open for visioning. But other times, as Lauren was saying before, like with her move, it might just be like, get to the next place. It's too much of a push. So we also just want to be aware energetically of where our clients are at. That being said, sometimes if someone's been in a prolonged winter, like maybe longer than they need to be, visioning with them can be the spark that they need to move them into spring and summer and into the next phase. Okay. So we looked at a lot today. Your homework, if you're working with a partner, is to spend a full session visioning. So instead of splitting a session practicing, take the next two sessions to practice visioning. So that you have more time, right? First one partner will go and do a visioning session, and then the next one. You'll get worksheets for today. And then if you're working with clients, here's another piece of homework for you. If you're working with clients, I want you to invite you to go through your client roster, go client by client by client. And for each client, ask yourself, are you clear on their vision? Are they clear on their vision? And this will be in your home, in a worksheet. So you don't need to capture all this right now. Do you sense that their vision has shifted since when you co-created the vision together? Are they connected to their vision, right? And how you wanna, if it feels important because they're not connected or you're not clear on the vision or whatever it is, how you want to bring this into your work with them over the next weeks. All right. We have a few minutes left. I know we covered a lot today, so I want to hear takeaways and questions. What are you taking away from our call today? What feels important for you personally, for yourself as a practitioner? What are you really seeing? And what questions do you have? Lauren, yes. You have a lot going on right now. You can take that pause. Who else? I'd love to hear some voices. What are you taking away? What questions do you have? Yeah, Jessica, you have some long-term clients who fulfilled. Sometimes that can happen too. We work with clients and they fulfill the vision, but then we forget to create that next vision, and then the work kind of meanders. It doesn't have the same kind of juice. Who else? I'd love to hear one voice before we hop off today. Anyone want to share voice to voice? No. Okay. Amy Jo.
I'll just say thank you, because this is kind of like synthesized a bunch of abstract thoughts that I've had around visioning, and especially the part around clients who aren't able to connect with the vision, and you know why that is, and possible ways of working with that, and then also for myself, my own stuck places around visioning, and yeah, thinking about what's next for me and clients. So
beautiful. I'm so happy to hear it. Good. Ray, good. I had a feeling, especially because we've been talking about your visioning stuff, I was hoping today would bring some new pieces up for you, even though you're already a master. Amy Jo, to spend even more time with your clients around visioning and allow more space for the magic. Keep visions aligned with values. Yeah. How daring it can be to feel, to it, how daring it can feel to vision. Yes. Simona.
Actually, Mindy, that captures exactly what I like so succinctly and beautiful, like that how daring to feel. And Jenna, thank you so much for sharing where you are, because that is just really helpful as a client to, or as a coach to remember that our clients, for some of us, visioning is really much more than visioning, and it touches into some vulnerabilities and tenderness that it's so just thank you everybody for sharing. And yeah, I love that, Mindy, how daring it can feel to vision. It's so good.
Yeah.
And also thank you for the vision learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love how you're saying that it can touch into vulnerabilities, right? That this is an important piece, because sometimes is, you know, our filters, right? Like as coaches, we can be like, all right, and we're visioning and this is so awesome. And right. It's just like the best ever, but that may not be the client's, where the client is at too. Or they may start all excited and then you see they slowly, right? Like you want to be listening to see where they're not so excited anymore because vulnerabilities have come up. All right, everybody. Well, Karen's asking about tools for visioning besides open-ended questions. So the other thing I'll share with you all in the member center is a demo of a visioning session where it's a full visualization that I think will give you a lot of ideas to take it out of, if you want to take it out of conversation, but into kind of some more body somatic, different ways of activating all levels of learning and processing. So you'll get that. All right, sending everybody a lot of love. We don't have class next week, but I'm of course around. Let me know what you need. Talk to you soon.